Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
This summer, discover American Giant's timeless, high-quality clothing made right here in the USA. Every piece is designed for quality and style that's built to last. From vintage-style tees to tough tank tops, breathable polos to lightweight sweatshirts, you can find your perfect fit. Celebrate American craftsmanship and support local communities with every stitch. Go to American-Giant.com and use promo code STAPLE20 for 20% off your first order.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on TheChairShot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, July 25th, 2024. That's right. July has blown right past us. It is out the door. We are sneaking up on August. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that we have on here at the show tonight. We have four of us here tonight. Going to have a good time. Got a lot to talk about. And we're just going to kind of call it in the ring, and whatever happens, happens. We're not necessarily going to talk wrestling tonight, although we do have a couple things we want to pick apart. Going to start with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, hailing from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I am utterly fantastic, my friends. How are you?
Good.
All right. And from the Rob the Genius Podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Rob, sir, with a clean haircut. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. And I have a little story about that after you introduce everybody.
Yeah, well, also, I'm going to go through the introductions, and we're going to talk about that because Rob's story is pretty good.
DJ, especially with our guest, didn't you forget one of Rob's titles?
Oh, yes. But that's kind of a spoiler, Jason.
Well, I understand, but
it blows the whole introduction away if I give the spoiler before I introduce the man.
Fair.
Okay, it's like putting the stinger at the beginning of the Marvel movie instead of at the end in the halfway through the credits. But that made absolutely no sense. Anyway.
All right, well, carry on.
Formerly of the Outsider's Edge, doing whatever the hell he wants, a man who has retired and unretired from podcasting more than Ric Flair. He is the yin to Rob's yang, the pain in Rob's ass, Mr. Ray Cash. Sir, welcome to the show.
Best intro in the game. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Man, what a week.
So Rob decided to cut his hair, and I just said, screw it, and I'm going to keep mine going. So I guess that's what we're doing this week.
Yeah. And me, I'm like 2 weeks into a haircut. But you know what? Why don't we start there? Rob, you got a haircut story. Lay it on us.
Okay, so the way I usually do my hair is, like, because when I cut my hair, usually for the first 2 weeks, it barely grows back at all. Then week three, it starts to grow back some. And then when I get to week four, it just explodes basically. And so it'd been a while and I needed to do it. So I have like these little wireless clippers that I use. And you plug them in and you charge them. And then, you know, when they're ready, you pull the plug out, you just use them. And so I hadn't charged these in a while. So I started cutting my hair and I had cut like a few, like maybe about a third of it off. And the clippers just died on me. And I'm just like, no, you gotta be kidding me. Cause I was going to cut my hair and then go to the store. And then I'm just like, no, come on. Really? And so I had to go searching around for the plug. And then for a few minutes there, I thought I was going to just put a hat on top of my like one third cut head and then go to like Target or something and hope that they wouldn't call the police. You know, like, hello, there's a serial killer here. You might want to come get this guy. Right. And then thankfully I found the plug and I just plugged them in for another hour. And then I was able to finish, but man.
That's a terrifying feeling, ain't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go out in public looking like this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
Charge your clippers before you cut your hair, everyone. If you have plug-in clippers that need to be charged, make sure you charge them before you cut your hair.
See, mine aren't rechargeable. Mine just plug right into the wall, and I just use them from there, buzz it all down, and, you know, go from there. So I don't have to worry. I mean, I'd have a pair of wireless clippers that I used to kind of trim up certain areas of the beard, and I've been there. I was, like, halfway through trimming my mustache one time, and the damn things died, so I, like, half my mustache looked like, I don't know, craziness, and the other was, like, all neat and trim. I'm like, well, I guess I'm waiting on this, but...
Wait a second. You guys' clippers don't work when they're plugged in?
Mine do. I have two sets. I have one that I shave my head with that stay in all the time. It's like I was telling Rob in the pre-show. They're called Wahl, W-A-H-L is the brand. And they're barbershop clippers, man. I just plug them in and buzz my head and go. Worst event I've ever had, like I was telling Rob, is one time the head fell apart on me. On one of them, I completely disintegrated, and I had to do what Rob was afraid he was going to have to do, and went to the store and bought a new pair. But my beard trimmer is a chargeable one.
Well, because I've been in that same situation where, like, oh, I'm like halfway cutting through my Santa beard down to like, you know, almost stubble, and then all of a sudden it dies. I'm like, oh shoot! But I just plug my clippers in, and then I keep going. Did you guys not try that?
No, I didn't.
I'm just saying, next time, give it a shot.
This is wild that y'all talking about all this self-care. Man, I ain't touched my own head in over a decade, face or head. I barbershop, my boy shaved me. He cussed me up. Now I got a homegirl of mine. My auntie does hair, so she blows my hair out so I can go get it braided. Yeah, I ain't touching. I'm not messing with that.
So remember what I said, guys. Remember what I said in the break about, you know, about this man. He really is. He's the CEO. He's just the CEO of the Chairshot Radio Network.
Got people doing his hair, his beard. You getting Manny Petty too, buddy?
No,
you know what? Let me tell you something. I had a buddy of mine got married probably about, well, I'd say buddy. He was a guy I was running with back in the day. Got married about 25 years ago, and the day before the wedding, he went. And got his hands done. He's like, look, I ain't trying to check in my man card. He's like, but that was pretty badass. He's like, I'll sneak in the back door and get another one another time someday.
I know men that swear by him, dog.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of a pedicure or a manicure at all.
My toes are a mess. I cut my own toenails and it looks like, I don't know, I cut my own toenails. I probably need to go have a pedicure. So somebody professional can, because I love a foot massage anyway. Like my ex-wife was a massage therapist, and once in a while she would rub my feet. I'm like, oh, this is perfect right here. This is heaven. So no, guys, do not think that those pedicures are for women. Do not, because that's some relaxing shit right there, Bubba. Let me tell you. I'm kind of hit or miss with my grooming. Like my beard, I don't like to touch my beard. You know, I'm in that Fable Beard Company that we talked about with Jace. I'm in a Facebook group of a bunch of people that buy it, and we talk, you know, beard care and stuff like that. And some of those guys are like, oh, I trimmed up my beard today. It looks good. And I'm like, man, I don't touch. Like, I'll clean up my cheeks just to kind of, like, razor shave to keep it clean about once a week or so. But trimming it or anything like that beyond my mustache, I don't touch because the shit will look like a Picasso hit it. So I'm afraid to touch my own beard. My head. Well, what's up, Jason?
Doesn't Tina do it for you?
Hell no.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought you had a live-in, you know, groomer, so that I was like,
well, No. She doesn't do that. She will, like, when I buzz my head, she'll take a look at it because I'm notorious for leaving, like, little landing strips and, you know, it looks like a topograph of the moon when I'm done with it. So she's got to go in there and clean it up a little bit and hit, like, you missed, like, a landing strip in the back of your head because I got, like, this divot head and a big lump in the back of my head. So I miss it sometimes. So she'll go in there and clean that up. But about once every 8 weeks, I go and get the beard cleaned up with my barber, and they do the razor shave. Ray, do you get the razors, like the straight razor shave on the neck and everything?
Yeah, it depends on the barber. But yeah. I like the razor.
So do I.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing and, you know, get your lines right.
Yeah.
I do. Since I've started having my hair braided, now I go to the barbershop so he can edge me up and shave me and trim. So I'm due for that because, you know, you see the sideburns a little thick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm due for that. But
yeah, that's going to be me probably. I'm going to wait another month. I want to get – because I had him cut about half the award-winning beard off about a month and a half ago. Like this thing was like down to almost to my belly. About 6-8 weeks ago, and I was like, you know what, it's getting a little scraggy, and I don't know if black beards do this, but white beards do this thing where it starts breaking, and as it gets longer down towards the bottom, it thins out because it's thicker up towards the chin and everything. I don't know if yours.
You could even see one right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it starts thinning out, and that's what I got. I got all the thin out trimmed up, and I'm trying to grow it all back out one length, but... Yeah, probably I'll get the – because my sideburns, I never let my sideburns get like this. Like, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. I never do this. It's usually cleaner, closer to the cheeks, and then they'll do the lines around my head and everything. But I'm going to wait a little bit on that. So Jason,
You never know what you're going to hear about on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
We will talk about anything. And I was going to ask Jason because we haven't seen Jason on video, and God, for all I know, he could look homeless right now. So is the hair long? Is the beard long? Where are you at right now with all that?
Beard is totally, I just went down to like a one and, you know, basically glorified stubble. Just one of those refresh, start over. Just one of those. I do that once in a while and I do it with my hair. You know, one day I just woke up and was like, all right, the man bun's going. And that afternoon I had a faux hawk. So. but in any case, no, and then my hair is just kind of shaggy right now because I'm way between haircuts and I need to decide what I'm doing. But I also don't know. Do I want to grow it out longer? Maybe. Do I want to just go back way shorter? I also kind of like that. So stay tuned.
It looks good on you both ways. Like some people, they're either long or they're short haired. I've seen you with long hair. I've seen you with short hair and both of them work.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
I wish I wasn't thinning in the front so I could grow my – I would love to grow my hair out long one more time, especially with this beard. Because, like, at one point I had hair halfway down my back when I was, you know, a young little headbanger. And then, you know, Mother Nature started doing what Mother Nature does to us guys that hit 30 and beyond. And it thinned, and now if I try to grow it out, I look like a guy who's trying to hold on to his hair. So – I tried it about, I started really growing the beard about 4 or 5 years ago. But prior to that, I tried growing the hair out. And there's pictures of me and Tina at the Ren Fest. It looks awful. Just the wind's blowing and it's like flying off to the side. And there's like this big bulb. I'm like, oh, God, no, we're shaved. I actually, after I saw the picture, I went home and shaved it that night. It was literally, I'm like, I ain't doing this shit. This looks terrible.
There's a comedian. He's on that Nick Cannon show, Wildin' Out. His name is Chico Bean. And he's bald up to here. And he has braids that start, like, right here.
Oh, no.
And it's the most hilarious thing ever because you just see forehead. And then, like, the most beautifully concocted cornrows.
Yeah.
But it still just got nothing but shiny head up here. It's the
wow.
Well, it's like Stevie Wonder, man. Stevie Wonder needs to just let it go.
Stevie Wonder, and yeah. Much love to him. Booker T is getting there.
Yeah.
I love Booker T, but brother.
Gotta let it go, man.
Me, when I grow my hair out, I look like the guy from Ancient Aliens.
Oh, man.
Honest to God, that's what it looks like. It's the guy, it's like I can imagine myself sitting there going, aliens.
It just grows up and out.
Up and out, yeah, it does. It kind of like does because I have this thick Italian hair. Like, my mom was Italian, so I got my dad's hair hairline and then my mom's thick Italian hair. So it just kind of grows up, gets real fluffy at the top, and then just looks terrible after that. So yeah, I finally committed to completely shaving it about 10, 12 years ago, and I think I've grown it out once since then. So.
So have you guys ever... You guys ever use Magic Shave?
No. One time.
Brother.
Oh, man.
My grandpa had me thinking that's the only way black people could shave their face. Is Magic Shave. Don't you use the regular razors? Don't you do it? Yes, sir. Okay.
And look, man, if you leave it on too long, your whole head will be, like, beet red from the burn.
Well, that too, but also, man, shaking that stuff up, man, it's got the whole house smelling like Funyuns, man.
Oh, man.
Come on, bruh. God. Like, I knew when my grandpa took his weekly shower. You could tell. Rest in peace to my guy. I knew.
But it works.
That's a trick.
It did. I made the mistake of putting it on, and then I wiped it off my cheek because I had a little bit of a beard. So I was trying to do the cut and the line. So I put a little bit on there and I wiped it off. My dumb ass, not knowing any better, never using this before. There's a couple of stray hairs. I'm like, well, let me just put some more on there.
You lucky you still got skin, D-Boy.
Man, let me tell you something. I was cursing every living thing that breathes. It was terrible. My ex comes in, she's like, you dumb fuck, I told you not to put it on there again.
And these are the reasons why the barber shaves my face.
Oh, God. Alright, well, we talked a little bit about that. We started talking in the kickoff show about e-readers, and Jason and I established that, you know, we are new to the e-reader. Well, I'm newer to the e-reader thing than Jason. Rob, Ray, either one of you guys use an e-reader, or are you still traditional book, or do you read it all? I guess
I'm still like the paper, man.
Yeah.
I mean, by trade, I'm in tech, so, you know, by nature of me using so many devices, I have, you know, all my comic apps on my phone or tablet. I have certain books I've downloaded in my Google Play bookstore, stuff like that. We used to have a Kindle. It was my mom's, and she still messes with it from time to time. But it's nothing like, man, touching the pages, dog. It's nothing like actually doing that. But I will say the readers actually have the nice little animation that when you change the page, it looks like the page flips to try to make you feel better.
So, Ray, that was my biggest thing, because I only just got a Kindle probably a month and a half ago. I'm literally just looking. I'll send you a picture later. You just look at our coffee table there. Quick estimation, 18 novels between me and my wife.
Wow.
Just chilling. So we're big paper people. But everybody also told me, no matter what their level of reading was before they got an e-reader, they're like, if you really do get one of the paper white digital ones, they're like the original Kindle, et cetera. You read so much faster. And I'm like, okay, because not to toot my own horn, I read pretty fast already. So I'm like, okay, maybe not. So I got the Kindle, and it was the funniest thing, because I get it. And I start reading, and I'm reading this book series that I'm very familiar with an author that I love. So I'm like right in the swing of things. And I'm struggling, man. Like, I'm having to literally all of the rubbish was made of broken, and like, And all the, I went for two or three, four pages, and I was like, is this really what it's like? Like, I don't think I'm going to enjoy this, you know, because I also heard some people just, it doesn't work. I don't know what happened, but I got to, like, chapter two, and it just kind of clicked. And maybe I got my font size right or something like that. I didn't mess around with that. And the brightness just so, and all of a sudden, dude, I'm reading faster than I've ever thought possible. It's insane. Like, it's crazy. It's insane.
That is the positive of it, is that you can change your font size. You can make it bigger. You can make it smaller. The brightness of it, it you can really cater your eyes to what works for your eyes. Whereas with a book, like, you know, you pull out some Tolstoy and you just stuck with the itty bitty little words, you know what I'm saying? So go get one of them George R. R. Martin books that the print looks like a little scribble scratch. Good luck. So, you know, that's a positive of the e-readers for sure.
Yeah. I'm new to the e-reader thing. I have this weird love affair with reading. When I was younger, say, you know, 16 to like 20, 21, I could knock out a book in a week. Like, I consumed everything I could possibly read. I read everything that I could. As I got older, and, you know, definitely in the last 10, 15 years, if I'm holding like a hardcover or like a paperback book, I get a page, maybe two, and my eyes want to shut off. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. You know, it could be 9 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock at night. I get two or three pages in and I'm like, I can't keep reading. I'm getting a little better with the e-reader, but I'm not there yet. And I know, actually, I've had my girlfriend handed me down her old Kindle and she got herself a new one. And I started reading one night and she's getting ready for bed and I'm reading. As soon as she laid down, I shut it off and went to bed. She's like, you done already? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bed. I'm tired. I can't keep my eyes open. She will read all night. And she's got the light of her Kindle, and I've got a pillow over my face. I never slept with, like, a sleeping mask. I started sleeping with a mask about 6 months ago, mainly because she has her Kindle light on, and it would wake me up in the middle of the night. And, like, the other night, she was still reading at, like, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning because she just goes and goes and goes and reads. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I'm almost envious of it because I really want to get back into reading. She's got a lot of really interesting stuff downloaded into our library. She does a lot of fantasy books and things like that, and she's got me turned on to one right now that's pretty good. But, man, I get 4 or 5 pages in, I'm like, I got to close my eyes. So as much as I love reading, I got so used to reading comics and graphic novels, I like having the visuals in front of me. So transitioning back to just words has been a little difficult.
Sure. That makes sense.
So Rob, what about you?
When it comes to reading, I mainly do paper. For a while there, I did have one of those, there was this company called Comixology, and they used to do like the digital comics for everybody, but then like Amazon bought them.
Yep.
So I'd actually bought a few, you know, I had a decent number of digital comics I'd bought through them, but then once Amazon bought them, like, basically if you had stuff on there, it was gone. So then I was just like, man, screw this. So.
I'm glad you said that, Rob, because I had the same problem. It's still there. I was able to reconnect all my stuff together. So I have my whole library.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll
sure. Yeah, because I mean, there was a point in there for about 3 years that I bought 2-3 comics every Wednesday.
Did it switch over to Kindle?
Well, you can still use the Comixology app,
right?
But you can use the Kindle app. Like I said, I don't use that Kindle anymore. My mom is at somewhere in my mom's house.
But no, I wondered if they were transitioning your comic once they bought Comixology. Were they transitioning your Comixology purchase format into Kindle?
It's format. Something like that, yeah. But for the legacy users, you can still use the old app.
Nice.
Okay, so I heard it was, but their stuff was all gone. So.
Oh, brother, that was my concern because I went to go look. So there was the Marvel Comics app, there was DC Comics app, and there was a Marvel Unlimited app. So Marvel Unlimited was the one where you pay like this $12 a month and you get like unlimited of a certain level of comics from a certain time ago. But I always bought up-to-date comics because New Comic Day was Wednesday. And so DC got rid of their app and filtered it just to Comixology because there was, Comixology was the app that had every comic. So it had Marvels, it had DCs, but it had all the other Image and just indie comics, all of that. Well, I don't like the Comixology app. I'm not a fan of it. So, I hadn't looked at those things in a minute. And in fact, quick tangent, the reason my favorite Avenger is Hawkeye is because of the Matt Fraction comics. And so I think I was explaining that to somebody.
So my friend Nicole loaned me like the omnibus and like the extras for basically the entire Fraction run. Dude, that's one of the best fucking comics I've ever read.
Oh, it is. So good. Yeah, I bought the collector's edition. I got it here, the whole run. Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. All of them. And even when you get into Kate, just they're done. So I think I was trying to show somebody, and I went to go, I downloaded the Marvel Comics app, and it was gone. And like you, Rob, I lost my mind. I was like, man, I spent hundreds of dollars on these comics. And I went on Amazon and messed around with it. I was able to link everything back. So I felt a whole lot better.
Oh, all right. I'm about to try that then.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you need help. I used to like that DC app back in the day because when I first signed on to it and signed up for it, they still had all the animated movies on there. And then they shifted all the animated movies over to Max and went strictly comics and online graphic novels.
So that's a different thing. That was the DC Universe.
Yes. Yeah. That was the app that I had was the DC Universe app. I love the hell out of that.
So I subscribed to it till they got rid of it.
Same here.
On that app, Freddie Prinze Jr. had a D&D game that was some type of old 80s game some type of DC Comics game, but it was under the guise of like a high school, and like you had a greaser and you had like the jock and you had the pretty girl and you had the nerd, but like secretly they were like Batman or Wonder Woman or something.
Gotcha.
And Woodsy was on there. Xavier Woods, he was on that show.
Oh, cool. That's neat.
It was actually really cool. Like I would, if I could find it, I would buy it.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So since we're talking comics, since we're talking reading, let's talk a little bit of comic book stuff. Deadpool and Wolverine this weekend, guys. Who all's going? Who's watching it this weekend?
I have tickets tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
I'm probably might just wait to during the week because this weekend's going to be, it's going to be crazy getting in there this weekend.
Okay.
I'm going to slide in sometime early Saturday. I hadn't bought the ticket yet, but, you know, I hear a lot of people. I tell Patrick this all the time. So many people talk about, man, I couldn't get tickets the day of. I have never had that problem here in Houston.
Neither have we. You know, to everybody, oh, this is sold out. You know, Avengers Endgame was sold out. I walked up, bought a ticket, and walked in.
Yeah.
You know, now, you know, opening night.
The seat you want.
No, but no, you can get not.
In there.
Right. We looked at actually about 30 minutes before we went live here. I was on I looked up it on usually when I buy tickets online, I go to IMDb, they link me, and then I just go ahead and buy the tickets from there. They changed something, so I was having trouble trying to find tickets. I was looking at tomorrow afternoon because I'm off on Friday afternoons. So I figured she and I go to lunch. After lunch, we go to the movie and then come home. Everything from I think noon to 6 o'clock was sold out. You couldn't get tickets for that. The next available was 7 o'clock. I got in, had problems getting the tickets. I'm like, you know, screw it. We're just going to try. I'm going to give it a chance. When we get out of work, I get out of work tomorrow. I'm going to go over to the theater, see if I can pick up tickets for 7 o'clock. That's the plan right now. But yeah, man, definitely looking forward to this when the final trailer came out. I know, Ray, we've been talking, you know, back and forth with Patrick and all them about, you know, what they think, and some of the trailers and some of the early kind of feeling from a vibe from a lot of people is this is just going to be a fan service movie. Like they're just taking everything and throwing it at the wall. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of okay with that.
Only because Hugh's there. If Hugh wasn't there, because that was something nobody ever thought would happen.
Right.
But a lot of the times, most of the third of a trilogy usually ends up being a lot of fan service if it's a something of a if it's a property that has a lot of history behind it.
Yeah.
I have two concerns about the movie. I think the movie's going to be fantastic. I have no qualms. But my two concerns are, one, with a movie like Deadpool that is so intrinsically tied to comedy, will they overdo it? Because this is the third. So the same joke that was funny the first one, you got to go further in the third, right? And yeah. With the movie like this that has all this comedy, is going to have all this fan service, if the villain is shit, what's the point? And so, like, there's been a few of the trailers. Cassandra Nova's supposed to be the villain. There's been a few of the trailers where, she's, like, throwing Wolverine around like he's a ragdoll. So maybe, but I don't want it to end up looking like Malekith or Darbin or something like that where everything else, well, Malekith and Thor Dark World's garbage. But The Marvels is a good movie to me, but Darbin hurts the movie because she is not a not only entertaining, but she's not a really menacingly dangerous villain. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she did stuff, but...
I feel like that's a constant in the MCU movies, though. When you think of, think of the early trailers for Thor Ragnarok, Hela was horrifying in the trailers. Like, I'm looking at this, I'm like, she is going to knock this out of the park. We finally have a villain. And then she wasn't. Like, there were moments... But overall, at the end of the day, she just ended up being another trope in the MCU villain line.
I wouldn't compare Hela to the rest of them because they literally had to ditch the world.
Yeah.
Because Hela was so damn bad. But my two favorite MCU villains, Thanos notwithstanding, I think everybody, especially if you have a certain level of melanin, can understand Killmonger.
Yeah.
But Michael Keaton's Vulture... Woo. Was like terrifying to me. He was fire.
Oh, that scene where he comes out and it's revealed that he's her dad.
In the car.
I was in the theater like, oh fuck. It's like, oh
and
no.
And at the same time, he figures out that Peter is.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
What a great scene. I got you. You know what? I agree with you. That was a great, great call there.
Well, no, so, it's because they even do it. They even it's so subtle as they're at a red light, Michael Keaton's driving, and then as soon as Michael Keaton, you can see figures it out, the light turns green.
Yeah. So good. And then the angle where you can see it like kind of through the top of the front window. It's
right. Yeah. And then when Peter's talking, the camera focus is a little bit different and angled slightly different. And it's like, everything is so good right in that scene. Sorry.
It really is a good scene.
And then throw Kingpin in there too. Cause D'Onofrio is murdering Kingpin.
Yeah.
But also, hey man, am I allowed to say that Killmonger is one of my favorite villains?
No. So anybody can say that, but I just think if you have a level of melanin, you understand him on a level. That is probably deeper than a lot of people, but anybody
can say that I do not. Yes.
Yeah. So anybody can absolutely rock.
I'm not a Killmonger sympathizer. He deserves to get killed. He's a piece of shit, man.
But that line at the end, right before he dies, man, gets you every time you watch it.
Yeah.
Literally a war criminal.
Yeah. Leave me at sea. I don't even remember the exact line, but it just. Every time I hear it, I'm like, fuck,
bury me in the ocean because even my ancestors knew death was better than bondage.
And that right there. Right now, look at that. Right there. Every time,
okay,
man.
Okay, Rock.
Yeah. So now back to the Deadpool trailer. Rob, what are your thoughts and expectations here? Are you excited for it? Are you cautiously optimistic?
Because I didn't see Deadpool 2. And so I got
what?
Oh, really?
What?
I forgot around to it.
Jeez.
It's on Disney Plus.
I should probably watch it on Disney Plus. But,
better time than watching The Acolyte.
I have heard, Jason.
I have thoughts for another show.
Yeah, another day.
I've finished it, so.
Well, I didn't finish it, and I'm just like, man, fuck that shit.
So it really is a consensus thing, because I thought the nerds over there on bandwagon were just talking shit. It really is bad.
It's not great.
Well, okay. I won't say it's bad. It is aggressively not for me.
Thank you, Rob. Perfect. It's aggressively not for me, because, again, as I like to say about wrestling and as I like to say about a lot of things, the actors, the director, the, you know, camera people, they all did a wonderful job creating the story that they were given.
Got
like,
you.
I enjoyed watching it.
So it's like if I were to turn on Triple Mania, it would have that show be for me.
The execution of what they gave them was good.
Mm. Right.
The lightsaber scenes are awesome.
Does it have ramification for the future Star Wars universe? Or was it just a standalone?
Technically, it has ramifications for the past, but yes.
Okay.
Like, for me, like, if you invite me over here hours for dinner, and you give me the best cooked plate of shrimp ever, I hate shrimp. Fuck that shit. So.
No, that's fair.
Once these guys catch up, we'll have you back on. Ray, are you going to watch the whole thing?
No, so I am. I was going to watch it live, but they shadowed it so bad. I was like, well, I could just watch other shit and get it.
I would still give it a shot. I understand, you know, my nickname is Jedi Fett. Like, let's understand who we're talking to here. And I've been way friendlier to the Disney regime than a lot of my long-time Star Wars fan compatriots have been. But even this, I'm just like, okay, they're just, this is a story. It's just exhausting. And like Rob put it perfectly, it's aggressively not for me.
So I while I disagree with the notion, I understand that and why a lot of people are kind of off of the new trilogy. But I think the Mandoverse has been excellent. Mandalorian with fire. Andor was fantastic. I personally enjoyed Boba Fett, although I can see you have problems with that.
I loved it.
Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was great.
I love Ahsoka. I thought Ahsoka was
really good.
Ahsoka was probably my favorite of all of them.
Oh, really?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I like a lot of the things they've, you know, tweaked about the lore and whatnot, because in a way, a lot of it feels like a sci-fi movie that came out in the 70s, if that makes sense. Like, a lot of it is like retro sci-fi, and I adore that and appreciate that. So Ahsoka was awesome. You know, you don't need to get the guy named Jedi Fett started about either the Mandalorian or the Book of Boba Fett. We've been there enough. Yeah, we've been there enough times.
I don't mean to offend you if I say this, Jason. But I think while I love and appreciate them, I'm just of the belief that Jedi in general are boring.
No, you're not wrong. And
I was a Han Solo guy.
So my biggest complaint.
Han and Lando.
Han and Lando. Those were the two guys. Like I was telling Rob and Jason in a chat the other day, I said, those are the guys I wanted to be. I didn't want to be Luke. I wanted to be Han. I wanted to be Lando.
But that's why, Jason, But that's why I connected so much with The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Because that's the first, like, property I've seen in that IP that was not about, I mean, with respect to Boba, but he was in the movies. But you know what I'm saying? He was part of that story. Just following his story, just following Mando, Din Djarin's story, and like that. And I know you got Grogu and he's a Jedi, whatever. But it was just so cool to me to see what the Star Wars universe could be without having to be Jedi versus Sith, light versus dark.
So here's the deal, Disney. You're not allowed to tell another story with a lightsaber in it unless you have a Jedi Knight being a good guy the whole time. You have the Jedi Knight be the knight in the story who comes out with his laser sword and beats the bad guy. The end.
So yeah, so,
because also, hold on, let me finish. Ray is 100% correct. When you guys have taken your focus off Jedi, God forbid, you've made some of your best stuff. Like, Andor was incredible. You know, Mando and Boba Fett, you know, again, I don't need to geek out about them anymore. So, it's fun to do non-Jedi stuff, guys, and not screw a bunch of stuff up.
And non-Skywalker stuff, particularly.
Yeah, and that was one of the things originally that I was on board for with the Acolyte. It's set, what, 100, 200 years before the Skywalker saga. I wanted to see, I love the Skywalker saga. I love it. But I wanted to see the ancillary stuff, the peripheral stuff, what's going on in the rest of the galaxy adjacent to all that. And that's what I was really hyped for with Acolyte, because it takes place in an entirely different time period.
I'm a Jedi Mark, and I'm a Luke Skywalker Mark. I want all the Luke Skywalker that they can give us.
Well, that's fair. That's good, Bob. I don't dislike that idea, though. You know,
my first two heroes in life were Batman and Luke Skywalker.
No, that's fair, especially the time period you grew up. I get that.
So give me all Batman and give me all Luke Skywalker.
On a fun fact you guys might like, when on Bandwagon Nerds, you know, we have those projects. We did the project where we had, like, our top heroes of all time or something. Mm-hmm. And my top hero of all time, my top comic hero, because Star Wars is a Disney property, was Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
He's number one hero of all time. You know, but you know, Supes and Batman are 2 and 3, but I think Luke is number one.
Yeah.
Now, he's boring as hell to me. He's a whiny little bitch boy, but he's amazing.
That's funny, because that is exactly how, those are the exact words verbatim that my girlfriend uses to describe the Skywalker men. Whiny little bitch boys.
Me and Jason are about the same age, but I'm younger than you, DJ, and I'm younger than you, Rob.
Yeah.
So I came up during the prequel series. So, like, you know, Qui-Gon and Obi and, like, Anakin was my dude. I mean, I knew what was going to happen, but, like, I loved Hayden Christensen. Like, I think to this day Darth Maul is the dopest of all the Sith. I know he's probably the worst, but, like, from what I saw. Just, you know, the double two-sided
lightsaber. Yeah. I will say this. The Acolyte continues a trend that I do like with the Star Wars shows of creating interesting characters and characters that you want to see more of. And I don't want to spoil anything for you, because there were a couple of characters in there that I would like to have seen more of, and unfortunately, we're not going to get that. But
it's got to be a prequel of the prequel.
It's got to be a prequel of the prequel if we want to see any more with those. But again, but they were like 5 minutes into the first episode, I'm like, I want to see more of this one. Well, I guess not.
0.5.
Pretty much. They did a great job of that with the Acolyte. And they've done that with all the other properties. Like, you know, you take Star Wars Rebels, you take the Clone Wars, and just all the extended characters that have been worked into this. They're all interesting, and you want to see more of them. And I'm glad that they continued that trend with the Acolyte. But getting back to the Deadpool and Wolverine movie, which is where we started from, that was like the launching pad into Star Wars. How we made that connection, I don't know. But that's what we do here on this podcast.
I'm going to let out my fault, OG.
That's okay. One thing I did like, some of the scenes in there looked like they were ripped right out of Old Man Logan. And I don't know if you guys read the original Old Man Logan book. Like, particularly the scene with Ant-Man, still full-size, the corpse, and they in the movie it looks like people have made, like, a home out of him, but in the book he was kind of a historical landmark, was Ant-Man's corpse. And I like that they brought that in there. There's been some tease that we may get Wolverine and Hulk. So, again, that, depending on where this falls in a timeline, it could be ripped right out of the pages of Old Man Logan. So I'm really digging that vibe, because it feels like a true I love a good dystopian story. And as much as I loved the final Logan movie, and that was supposed to be loosely based on Old Man Logan, the environment to me did not feel dystopian enough for that particular iteration of that property.
Well, yeah, the world wasn't dystopian, just the mutants were dystopian.
Logan is obviously aged and running out of gas, but the world and the environment itself did not feel as dystopian as it did in the book. So what do we think? This is a question. So obviously we have Hugh Jackman, who has been pulled back into this. He's kind of like become the Undertaker for these movies. He thinks he's out and they pull him right back in. So now you've got everybody hyped to see him again. Where do you go with that moving forward? Do we obviously Daphne Keene is in this movie as presumably as X-23. Do we go forward with the original plan with her and make her the new Wolverine and finally let Hugh Jackman retire? And Ray's nodding his head, so I think he agrees with that sentiment, which I'm perfectly on board with, to be honest with you, because I thought she was amazing, and I like the X-23 character anyway.
Go ahead, Rob.
I think Hugh does retire, and I think definitely at least start out with her. And cause look, I mean, they're going to recast Wolverine. They're going to, they're not going to leave the, OG Wolverine character out of the whole thing. So, but I think you can at least start with her until they, decide what they want to do as far as recasting. But I think this is probably Hugh's retirement, game here.
Which is the other reason why they're throwing all the balls at the wall.
I don't think this is his last one. I think this is definitely his last big, this isn't a solo venture, but that. But he will be back in Secret Wars, because that's like the grand hurrah, like that's like the Mutant National Convention, or the Comic National Convention is going to be Secret Wars, like everybody.
Yeah.
You thought you saw everybody in the Avengers Endgame battle. Wait till you see them trying to fight the Beyonder.
Although Feige said, don't expect everybody back. So,
I don't believe that shit.
But well, this is true.
Don't believe that for
what he's saying. Oh, yeah, it's misdirection. Yeah, he's not gone.
So let me start with Jason on this next question. Do you see, take the Deadpool movies as you know them, do you see them successfully integrating Deadpool into the MCU as we know it?
Well, yeah, as we know it right now, absolutely. It's going to be very easy because it's just going to be he's going to be in some other multiverse compared to the Deadpool we know.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Avengers universe we know. So that's easy enough. It matters how this movie ends. Because we already know that there's, you know, variants and multiverse hopping and whatnot. You could just tell from the trailer. So, is this a big wrap-up of the multiverse universe and kind of a sideways way to get the X-Men property and all the 20th Century Fox properties integrated without totally rewriting your history? You know, because it's a comic book movie, so why not have comic book solutions? So, yeah, it matters how this ends. So if this ends with the multiverse still just doing its thing and there's variants out there, oh, man, we're going to get bonkers. It's going to be stupid. Everybody's going to have a run-in. Everyone's going to have a cameo. It's going to be insane. And I'm totally fine with that.
To your point, Jason, the fact that the background of this movie is that Deadpool gets recruited by the TVA.
Right.
That makes your point 1,000% valid.
They've already said, like, this is a random Wolverine, it's not anyone important. In fact, he's the last, like, person on his world because he killed everybody.
Yep.
So that's what all the trailers have said. So it's like,
oh, yeah.
This is like a one and done, probably Wolverine or something. And I agree with him. I think this is the end of Deadpool and Wolverine as any sort of solo or paired property, unless they just get really, you know, blown away at the box office and they both love money. But I think this is a big swan song for them and their franchises and solo acts. But to Ray's point, they'll be back as cameos and secret fighters and whatnot in Secret Wars. And, you know, until the multiverse doesn't exist anymore, you should expect to see one of them.
All right. Before we go to commercial break, I want to do one quick around the horn as it pertains to the Deadpool Wolverine movie. I'm going to start with Rob. We're talking fan service. Is there one fan service moment that you'd like to see in this film?
It'd be really cool if they finally did like a good version of Cyclops in live action.
All right.
I mean, look, they finally got him right in the X-Men 97. You know, because that character has been written wrong in damn near every format other than the comics. So it'd be nice if he's in there if they had a properly written version.
Okay. Ray, same question.
Shout out to whiny bitch boy number 2, Cyclops. great leader. One of the best, maybe the best leader in Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Yeah, sure, if you're a fascist.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
DJ, you shake your head. You're, oh, my God, but pay attention to recent comics, my friend.
Oh, no, I know. I'm up on current events as it pertains to Scott Summers. So.
What's that stupid island called?
Look, man, Emma Frost. I'm sorry. I see it. I understand. I get it.
Yeah.
Everybody gets it.
I get it. I get it, man.
Moving on.
Ray, same question. Fan service. What do you want to see?
I'd like to see him. I'd like to see Wolverine in the yellow suit meet the OG, the other OG characters. You know, like Rob said, Marsden's, Cyclops, Holly Berry,
yeah.
Famke Jensen, like those guys, Kelsey Grammer, like I'd like to see him meet them. But the most important thing to me outside of enjoying this movie is, and there may be no connection, I need to know who's going to be the next Kang. You can't set up all this stuff and then your boy get in some trouble, you drop him. Don't even talk about that. But you can't just get him out of there, out the paint, the character. Kang still, even in the trailers, Eliath is in the trailer, the Dragon Cloud. So I'm hoping that the post-credit scene is Deadpool meeting whoever.
A variant of Kang. Okay.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
All right. Jason, what fan service moment do you want to see?
First of all, Ray, get ready to learn Galactus, buddy. And
you there already?
Fan service? No, dude. I think they're just gonna totally scrub Kang. I think it's over.
Yeah. They can't. And the people, have you heard the people that could possibly replace him? They're like A-list of the A-list actors, dog.
Yeah. They can, dude, we changed out, we swapped Terrence Howard for Don Cheadle and nobody blinked.
Right. And they look nothing alike.
Well, no, seriously, Jason, fan service.
Yeah. Fan service, I just want an actual concrete answer as to how they're bringing over. Like, are you bringing over the 20th Century Fox properties, or do I have to, like, still wait and figure out what you're going to do with the X-Men? Like, okay. I just wanted to see how they're going to integrate those guys into mainstream Marvel. Or are you just always going to be, hey, if we see the X-Men, it's because we're universe hopping? Maybe. Right. But I would like an answer there. And Logan being in the story is probably a great way to tie that bow.
Fan service. What do I want to see? Because they were always some of my favorite stories. Even if it's a flashback or whatever the case may be, I need World War II, Logan and Captain America on some type of mission. I don't care what it is. That's my personal little fan service thing. And I want fucking what's his name as Steve Rogers. I need that interaction between the two of them because I think it would be fun. His name just fell right out of my head. Chris Evans. Bring him back for a 90-second cameo, man, and him and Wolverine. I think that would pop me to the moon. So, all right, we're going to go to commercial. When we come back from the commercial break, what?
I was muted. You want to hear my bold prediction? I do think Chris Evans is going to be in the movie. I do not think he is going to be Captain America.
You think he's going to be the Human Torch?
Yeah. They're okay. He is probably so delighted to pull that prank on millions of people. He is just giddy with anticipation.
I'll tell you what, though, it's slightly related. Did you guys watch the Arrowverse version of the Crisis on Infinite Earths?
Yeah. No, and no.
No, and no. Okay, they did a really cool thing in there because they had this guy, Brandon Routh, playing the Atom in Legends of Tomorrow. And then they brought in Brandon Routh playing Kingdom Come Superman, and the two of them shared screen time together, and they made the nod and the little obvious joke. It was like 2 seconds long, but it was really, really cool. I popped for it. So, yeah, to see Chris Evans as the Human Torch would actually be a fun little moment, Jason. Good call on that.
And that's also like a sideways, like they are right now. Like, okay, this is a official Marvel property movie now.
Yeah.
And Logan is in it. We are now softly introducing the X-Men. You're now softly introducing the Fantastic Four.
Gotcha. All right, like I was getting ready to say, we are going to go to commercial break. When we come back, this is a wrestling podcast. We are going to talk some wrestling. Contracts expiring here in the near future. The big one, Bobby Lashley. When we come back, we are going to break that down, talk about that a little bit, as well as expand on a larger discussion as it pertains to him and his future and what's going on in WWE. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we're back. Like I said before the commercial, this is a wrestling podcast. We didn't have a whole lot of wrestling to talk about this week. SummerSlam's not until next week. We'll talk about that next episode. But right now, I want to talk Bobby Lashley. It's been the big news. This has been probably the biggest news this week coming out of the wrestling world is that Bobby Lashley's contract is set to expire. And as of right now, he has not renewed. There's been some speculation that WWE sent him a contract. And he didn't sign it. He kind of looked at it and is now doing kind of like what it looks like Natalya did and weighed options, sent some feelers out to see if anybody else is biting, to see if he gets a better deal elsewhere. And I want to start here with Ray. Well, because Ray probably has a little bit better ear to the ground on this stuff than I do. Ray, what's going on here, man?
So the only thing that I know the you saying that he was actually offered a contract is the first I'd heard that.
This is what I've read, is that they've sent him a contract and that he's not officially signed anything.
Well, that tracks, because even someone like Dijak, who was basically unceremoniously told to get out, they gave him a, they were like, hey, we're going to try to give you a contract. He never ultimately got the offer.
Yeah.
But they were supposedly working on it. But the thing that I have heard is that they have an internal roster, and they'll take people off that internal roster for different reasons, injuries, you're off the road, stuff like that, so that they, you know, you're not booked for appearances or for this or that.
Right.
So, Lashley, MVP, and Tamina were taken off the internal roster. MVP has made it very, very visibly known he's gone.
Yeah, he gave everybody pretty much the goodbye yesterday.
Yes, but not just that. Multiple tweets, multiple IGs about it, on top of the final, hey, by the way, yeah, so that's for sure. And he's alluded to the fact of him and Bobby going elsewhere. So I don't know if Bobby is officially gone, but I think we can pretty much, Garrett, we can pretty much say, yeah, he's out of there. I mean, last minute stuff happens. You know, they have shown that they're not above listening to fan reaction. So if there's enough fan chatter, maybe they'll feel forced and compelled to give him a fair offer. But I don't think the offer is the issue, because he'll make money. He wants to be in WWE. I don't think he wants to be anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is usage, which is I'm sure we'll talk to after this.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely it. Is it? I think that's the usage. And, you know, Rob and I were kicking this around a little bit in the pre-show before you guys came on. I'm of two minds of this. One, I look at Lashley and I'm like, okay, how do you not use that guy? And there's going to be some people that are going to argue, okay, he's 48 years old, but he looks better at 48 than your average 38-year-old looks. Okay. He's obviously still got gas in the tank. And unless internally he's beat up, outside, externally, to look at him aesthetically, he looks like he's got another 10 years in him. The other issue could be, you know, when you look at the fact that they haven't done much with him over the last year, they're looking at, okay, his contract is going to expire on this date. Do we want to invest a whole lot in him if we don't really even have like a verbal, yeah, I'm probably going to stay, but let's see how it goes. I guess... God, anybody, somebody take this over from me for a minute, because I'm trying to gather my thoughts on this.
I got a thought for you. That guy was once so hot, so white hot, that you couldn't give Drew McIntyre the easiest feel-good, make everybody across the WWE universe feel a little bit better coming out of COVID. Like, This was the easiest storybook layup win in the world. Bobby was a heel, Drew was a face, and you couldn't give him it the win because Bobby was that hot. And to that, I will just direct your attention there, and then I will say he was recently champion. He was recently good enough to be champion. It's what, 2022?
Yeah.
And it was the belt, the WWE Championship. So I will just direct your attention to those two facts, and then I will say, figure it out. If it's a money thing and they're a part of money, I'm whatever. That's it. But I would just say, give it your best effort to keep him. If he wants to go elsewhere, he wants to go elsewhere. That's fine. You know, this is America. You want to like your job? Go for it.
I know Rob wants to jump in, so I want to throw this question to both of you. And so this is the first time we've seen in our lifetime that the people who are in charge of WWE are treating it like an actual sporting company. They're treating it like a roster of a pro football or pro basketball or pro soccer roster.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring that up is, while as great as Lashley is, even as recent as that was, with as deep a roster as they have, is he worth the money and the booking time given to him that they could give to Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes,
right,
and all these new people?
when you put it like that, and then he's kind of, it sounds like he's, you know, with MVP's talk, it sounds like he's got one foot out the door anyway. Maybe that comes from the fact that he didn't get the offer he wanted, but who knows, chicken and egg. But, Rob, go ahead.
Okay, so I will respond to that with the usual answer when we talk about if somebody, who's not getting a lot of time, is it worth it to give them more time? Well, I'm going to have to refer back to our favorite scapegoat here. That is Mr. Karrion Kross, okay? I'm sorry, that kind of deads any arguments for, like, big-name people not getting used.
You put him, the pride was getting over. So, and yeah. I don't know what happened, you know, well, obviously.
I think one, not splitting up the tag team belts, I think hurt because you could, if they had SmackDown tag team titles last year, their Street Profits could have won the SmackDown tag team titles and they would have gotten momentum for the group. And then it would have kind of fulfilled the purpose of the group, which was for everybody to get back on track. But because you had both tag team belts tied up with the same team all year, all your normal tag teams were left spinning their wheels. And I think that kind of took some air out of the balloon for the group. Cause then look, even if he was just getting some singles matches here or there, if the group was winning stuff and gaining momentum, it wouldn't have been so bad. Right. But the group wasn't really doing anything with any momentum they could get. There wasn't any goal for them to achieve because of what they were doing with the tag team belts.
Well,
as far as with him, remember last year they had him win the Andre Battle Royal and they just had him walk out and wave to the crowd at WrestleMania.
I'm still pissed about that.
And it's like, okay, that come so, on. That, so, I'm sorry. Hold, that hold that's on. That, hold no, on. That's, no, there's no,
no hold on. No, there is a hold on. No, back. There is a hold on because while they should have pivoted to something better, the only reason that happened was because Bray got sick.
Then do the damn building on the pay-per-view. I mean,
no. We agree there. But what I'm saying is, I give grace for a shitty situation. And especially knowing what we know now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Bray, it's not like he was sick and he was like, hey, I'll be back in 3 weeks. The man died from the illness.
Yeah.
So, like, I can understand the pivot that was so quick to try to give him some type of accolade, and it should have been on the, I'm with you, should have been on the card, because McAfee and Miz, that shit didn't have to happen.
No.
I just think it's important to note that it's not like Bobby was just like, do-do-do-do-do. No, he was in a very active feud with Bray before Bray got sick.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to touch on real fast, Rob, and I want you to finish, please, but this is important to note, because I agree with you completely about the lack of tag team titles hurting the group. But you said that the group didn't have a point besides the tag team titles. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think the biggest problem with the Pride, the biggest thing that hurt the Pride, was they were a heel group. The entire point of them was Bobby turning the Street Profits heel to make them more serious and make them more successful again. And I was thinking would lead to Tez and Bobby eventually. Whatever happened, whether it was the fans didn't accept it because they loved the Profits too much, or whatever, them playing heel for a month and a half, 2 months, while getting cheered, Tez coming out and doing face shit when he's supposed to be a heel, and all this stuff, and then them having to flip back to becoming a face, and then finding something for them to do as faces, when the entire time they started was beefing with the LWO and Rey Mysterio, that hurt them more than anything to me, because that was their point. Yeah.
I'm going to let Rob finish, but I'm going to build on Ray's point with the Pride, and I've got some thoughts on that. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. I mean, I agree with everything Ray said there, because they were miscast as a heel group, and then they had that dog shit match in one of the premium live events against the LWO. And so I think that the whole thing was just kind of, you know, thrown in the wrong direction, you know, a bunch of different ways. And then they, of course, feuding with the you know, Karrion Kross experience. So put it this way, I can understand, because remember Drew last year, Drew waited to sign a new contract because he didn't like his creative stuff, and he, you know, and
yeah.
And he didn't resign, obviously, until he got, until they got on the same page. And they clearly gave, came up with some stuff for him to do that he likes doing. So I, you know, I can't blame Bobby for just looking at the, looking at that and be like, well, you know what? I'm not going to resign this just to run around in circles again.
Right.
And again, the last year and a half creatively that they have had him running around in circles, or look, they could have just, he and Brock never really finished. They could have just threw, they could have made that a triple threat match with him, Brock and Omos. I mean, okay.
Last year he had fought Omos at WrestleMania the year before, so maybe.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, it's a triple threat though. I mean, so.
No, yeah, I'm actually helping your point because they actually had.
Oh, I'm sorry. History.
Yeah.
And so their thing, you know, cause to me, if you have him there, again, he's not somebody that you should, that you just kind of put on ice for 6 months or something, right? No, you find something for him to do.
Yeah.
He's one of those people where, you know, or even if, look, if you got to have some fatal four-way world title matches on some premium live events once or twice and put him in one of those, right? I mean, that's something, right? I mean, and so I can't blame him for just looking at the last year and a half or whatever and saying, you know what? No, I don't want to go anywhere else, but you know, we got to do this a little better here if I'm going to just stick around. You know, so I don't blame him here. I don't think he's in the wrong to hold off on, you know, signing another contract and, you know, just seeing what else is available. I mean, I don't blame him.
So I've got some thoughts here. One, I think Lashley being on SmackDown with everything that was going on with Roman, the Bloodline, he really just kind of got kind of buried underneath all that. We knew Cody was going to be the end game there. It was never going to be Lashley. As far as the pride, for starters, I don't think that the Street Profits ever needed that. Like, I think the Street Profits, they were doing a great thing with them. They had a lot going on. Tez can talk. You know, Dawkins can talk. Lashley can't talk as well as they can. So why is Lashley the leader of these guys who don't need a leader? For me, that was where it started to fall apart. And then, like Ray said, like Rob was talking about, they tried to make them heels. And to me, I just don't see heels out of those guys. It never worked. And we rewind a little bit to some things MVP said about how he tried to pitch getting the Hurt Business back together, because the Hurt Business was awesome. And they really carried WWE programming for a year during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Like, carried it. They were in every segment. They were awesome in every segment. And it was really, really good. So when you look at Lashley and the Street Profits, and you want to give people something that kind of maybe feels like the Hurt Business again, why not call Shelton back, bring him back in, and give us the actual fucking Hurt Business, send them all over to Raw, and have them feud with Judgment Day? Like, how hard is that to do? Like, think about the amazing matches you could have with Damian Priest and Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley can easily rotate right into that World Heavyweight Championship rotation that they've got going on. So I just think there were so many things that didn't need to happen. And it just, to me, again, I agree with Rob. It couldn't have been that hard to slot this guy in somewhere. And I know he was, I think he was injured for a little bit, which didn't help. Maybe some of it is his age. Maybe they're looking, it's like, okay, yeah, he's still a good looking 48 years old, but we've got Carmelo, we've got Braun, we've got Ilya. You know, and coming up behind those guys, we've got, you know, Wesley, we've got Trick Williams, we've got Obafemi. We've got Obafemi. Like, we've got some hosses coming up from NXT. Do we need 48-year-old Bobby Lashley? And how important – because they did the same damn thing with Edge. You know, Edge was 48, pushing 50, you know, and they're like, okay, we've got some stuff for you to do, but we may not have – as much as you want to do at this point in your career. And Edge is like, well, nah, I don't think that's not for me. I'm going to AEW. Maybe it's a similar situation with Bobby. Maybe they're looking at him going, well, we've got some stuff for you to do, but it may not be what you want. So maybe his age is playing a factor. I don't know. it's frustrating because I'm a Lashley fan, and I have loved this last run. I even loved that ridiculous no-holds-barred match that he did with Goldberg a few years ago.
Oh, that was good.
I love the hell out of that match.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish we would have gotten one more good blow-off match. I enjoyed what he did with Lesnar. I know he got injured in one of them, so we didn't get everything we wanted out of that, but I liked what I got.
I'm going to say something maybe slightly controversial.
Okay.
I completely agree with the group here that her business was just cinema. You know, just, you know, every with respect to what Drew was doing, but just as integral to that was what the Her Business was doing. But I didn't, nor do I want to see it come back.
I think it stands on its own in that run?
Well, yes, but also I have a problem with us as wrestling fans in general wanting so much nostalgia that you miss what's in front of you. And so, like, yeah, it'd be cool to have it back. It'd be cool to have it for a month. I'm the biggest shield mark out here. If I hear Sierra Echo, like, I'm a mark too. Mm-hmm. We don't ever need to see the shield again. We don't.
I need it one more time. I need one more time of those three dudes after they've whipped a whole bunch of ass in the middle of the ring. I need it. Well,
they can do that in a fight, but they don't have to be a team again.
Okay. Okay.
No, they do. They have to wear the vests. If Moxley,
I don't ever want to see Roman back in that damn vest again.
Oh no, they've got to wear the vests. It's non-negotiable, dude. Anyway, if Mox had not gone to AEW, like if we hadn't gone across that bridge, I'd be with you. I'd be like, we don't have to do the Shield ever again. We had that last, you know, little thing that was great. Whatever. But just as like a victory lap, if he comes back and does one more run here or, you know, over at, you know, WWE, I say here, then yeah, dude, throw the vest on one more time for one more fucking match. I don't care if it's against The Miz and The Miztourage again. Like, I don't care. Just do the, hit the music, come through the crowd, do the triple powerbomb, like pop me to the moon, and then we'll, you know, write y'all in the Hall of Fame. Because they're all three going to be two-time Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Because the Shield's going in.
But let's fantasy book here a little bit. Let's say Lashley decides 11th hour to re-sign with WWE. Do you leave him on SmackDown? Do you move him to Raw? What do you do with this guy? Ray, I'll start with you.
If you do what, I'm sorry?
If, let's hypothetically speaking, Lashley decides to re-up with WWE. He's like, okay, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm 48. Yeah. Let me work out the rest of my career here.
Gotcha.
What do you do with him?
So right now, Lashley's too big a wrestler. Lashley is essentially the bigger version of AJ Styles. So he's like the gatekeeper to the main event.
Yeah.
He should get one world title match a year. You know, maybe even if you have the right story, you can book him and win a short title run. But by and large, he should not be champion. He should not be in the title picture for the most part. He should be, like, they barely touched on it, but if you gave me 3 months of Lashley and Carmelo, I would have been happy. That's the type of stuff he should be doing. You give me, you know, I know we like to put hosses versus hosses, so Lashley versus Obafemi would be amazing. But, I mean, you mentioned it earlier. Man, you give me 3 months of Lashley and Wes Lee?
Oh, yeah.
Let Wes bump for him like he bumped for Oba? But that's what I think Lashley should be. Lashley should be the gatekeeper to the main event. Like, you beat me, you're cemented. Now, is he okay with that is the question. I don't know. But that's what I would like to see him do. Because, only because, you know, WWE's always had talent. So I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that they were ever talent strapped. But the main roster is stacked. And NXT right now has 15 people you can call up tomorrow. And you have no questions. Tomorrow. And we're not even talking about the people. We're not even talking about people like Julia, Stephanie Vacker, or people that haven't even showed up yet. I'm talking about just on the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they've got some go-getters in NXT right now.
Which is why I don't have very many qualms with them having this now, this new 2-year edict. 2 years to show some of you out of here, right? Damon Kemp was on the show regularly. Appreciate it, bro. You got as far as you can go. Hey, we'll maybe see you in 5 years. Like, I'm not mad at that when you have so many people waiting in the wings. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and all these people got it. The point of NXT now has been revamped to the way it should be. Well, all the plan for all these dudes is to get called up. You feel what I'm saying? So, where are we going to have space?
Well, yeah. Now.
Yeah, the, everyone, you know, one of the popular things on the IWC is, this person needs an opportunity. Well, that person needs an opportunity. Well, this person needs an opportunity. Well, for those opportunities to present themselves, there needs to be some trimming at the other end, unfortunately.
Right.
You know, because everything moves up the ladder.
I hate when Ricochet had to go.
But
I hate Ricochet had to go. But you know what? I'm not mad at it because he did everything he wanted to do. And there's no, like, so you love Ricochet? We got 5 more.
Well, now, here's where I'll disagree with you guys. Okay. They have volume. Okay. But volume doesn't mean that, like, they can't just, it's not as simple as, well, we got another one here. Plug that one in. Okay. Cause, okay, like with Ricochet. All right. So, yeah, I think Javon Evans could take his place. But no. They don't have 10 guys that you can plug in, which is the way y'all make it sound. They don't.
You think they couldn't plug Wesley into that spot tomorrow? And no, Wes can talk.
No, he is not Ricochet. No, he is not.
Are you?
I love Wes. Wes is great. Wes is not Ricochet. Stop it. Okay. This is like if you have Michael Jordan.
Hold on, Rob. He's talking about could Wesley fulfill the role that Ricochet did in the last couple of years?
Yes.
And I say yes, absolutely he could. 100% Wesley. The current Wesley we're looking at could absolutely do everything Ricochet did in the last 3 years.
And Wes can talk.
No.
I'm not trying to be like, and I'm not saying he's going to do it better. I'm not saying he's going to be awesome at it. But I'm just saying from a, you know, apples to apples, like this is the storyline. This is where you're at on the card. And these are the kind of matches we want from you.
Okay. Gerald Wilkins' last name is Wilkins and he could dunk. Okay. Okay.
Well, that's not staged, dude. This is when the fact that it's staged comes out. Like, could you put another actor in that role? And I say yes, you could. You could put Wesley in that role.
I think you're looking at what we're saying the wrong way. We're not saying replace as in do the literal same things Ricochet does. We're saying the high energy, flippy do babyface who gets the crowd excited. That role, there's 10 people right now that can take that role.
I mean, you can put them in there, sure.
And I would say Wesley is one of the few. I don't think there are 10 who could do it as well.
But Wesley and Javon are the top two right now.
Sure.
Let me say to a similar level that Ricochet does it. Yes, correct, Ray. There are 10 people who could do it talent-wise. Would they do it the same? I don't know. Wesley? Yes, I think so. And that's also just because we're high on Wesley.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean.
So let me throw some names out to you. I'm not even going to talk about anybody existing because Cedric Alexander is now back in NXT.
Yeah.
But so let's just throw a few people out there that can fly like that, right? You said Javon. We said Wes. Nathan Frazier. Axiom. Right.
Okay. I got a better analogy then. Okay. It's like Psychosis and Rey Mysterio. Could Psychosis do the moves that Rey Mysterio did? Sure.
Right.
But he ain't Rey. All right.
But he stood on his own.
I don't need him to be Rey.
I think Psychosis stood on his own.
He did, but what I'm trying to say, Rob, is we don't need another Ricochet. We just need someone that can do those things. I don't need another John Cena. That's why we got Roman Reigns.
This is a hard discussion because I like Rob. I get what Rob's saying. I miss Ricochet on my WWE programming. I liked the guy. I became a fan.
This is just, I guess this is kind of almost like the whole thing where media and sports are going, where the people at the top want you to believe that we don't need any of these guys. We can just plug somebody else in. And in reality, there are special players. And when they're not there anymore, the quality goes down.
Okay. Okay? So
old Tom Brady was not with Tom Brady in his prime. Tom Brady gone from the Buccaneers. What happens?
Okay, if Ricochet
is a 10 and Wesley is a 9, Ricochet is a 6 in terms of personality, Wesley is a 10. I'll take a 19 over a 16.
I think what Ricochet does in the ring is that much better than what those other guys do.
Are you watching Wesley matches?
Yes.
Buddy, I've seen Wesley a dozen times on the house shows.
In fact, go further. Are you watching Wesley and the Rascals? Are you watching Trey Miguel and Zach Wentz?
Yes.
And the things these guys do are just as athletic and just as amazing as Ricochet. Only difference is Ricochet been doing it on TV for 15 years.
You know what? And it's a stylistic thing. They're not the same stylistic. I can't even put it into words except to say Ricochet is more like Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe stylistically it's cooler, but like with the flips he does and like how he lands and things like that. But as far as talent, I mean, no, Ricochet is probably way better if pound for pound. But in any case, Rob, put it this way. I think they could have gotten a lot more out of Ricochet than they did. I think he showed a lot of higher highs, of high highs, and I think they're highs that he didn't even reach, especially promo character-wise. However, they kind of just kept him in a little box. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about how special Ricochet is or anything like that. We're talking about they kept him in a box. Could they remove him from that box and put Wesley in that box with the same, you know, this is where you live, and we say yes, that it would be the same, about the same quality programming because, and, you know, you're gaining a little more promo-wise, you're probably losing a little athletically.
And I have one more point, Jason. We're talking about Ricochet like this now, as he's earned. But I remember when we were all saying, well, there'll never be somebody like Neville. We'll never see another Neville. Ricochet came and threw that. I'm not saying
I would watch.
I said people. But the thing
I liked Neville. Good. I would watch 100 more Ricochet matches before I'd watch 10 more Neville matches.
Well,
I grew to like Ricochet. And Neville's awesome. Like, you know, Pac is awesome.
The kids are saying it nowadays, and I'll say it. Ricochet does have a certain aura.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that Wesley is getting there.
I don't think he's there, bro.
Yeah.
Well,
So let's get back to Lashley here because I want to wrap this up here because we're running a little bit long. So, okay, now hypothetically speaking, he's leaving WWE. Do you think, and keep in mind now, 48 years old, probably got two full-time years left, probably two part-time years left. AEW, does Tony, AEW probably is the perfect schedule for him at this age. Do you think Tony pays him what he's worth, given his age and the mileage? Do you think Tony pays Bobby Lashley what he's worth?
Considering what we know now, well, what we're rumored to know now about at least there's an offer, you know, we're going back and forth. There's some sort of back and forth. And he hasn't signed anything yet. So
now keep in mind, before you answer, keep in mind there is speculation that Tony is now starting to cost cut because we don't know what's going to happen with the TV deal. And the ship is not as afloat as we're led to believe.
It's really simple. I have an offer already in hand from WWE. I go over to Tony and I say, hi, this is what I've got. What do you got for me? And then you go over to New Japan and you say, hi, this is what I've got. What have you got for me? You know, and then in with New Japan, you take in consideration, you know, dates worked, et cetera, et cetera. There's certain bonuses there. And then you walk over to TNA and you say, hi, this is what I've got. What do you got for me? Oh. And then you, at 48 years old, the two-time WWE champion, you do whatever makes you happy. if it's going to be the light schedule or whatever, in the schedule in Japan or the schedule in Jacksonville, or they're going to pay you a boatload of money in Jacksonville, or they're going to pay you a boatload of money in WWE. Whatever it is, man, sign it.
But that's the appeal with AEW is the money versus the time investment. Because technically, if you're making, we'll just throw a number out there, $800,000 a year, but you're only working 15, 20 dates, whereas with WWE, they're offering you $1 million a year, but they want 40 to 50 dates out of you, you're still making more money per match with AEW. So, yes. You know, obviously, and especially at his age, that's got to be a factor. But yes or no, round the horn real quick, starting with Rob, AEW, does Tony offer him what he's worth?
I think if Tony wants him, yes. I think it's yes, no. Does Tony want him? I think if Tony wants him, he's going to pay him. Yes.
All right. Jason.
Yes.
Okay. Ray.
Tony has a million things I can't stand. Tony has a ton of shitty ass, you know, personality quirks and booking mechanisms. One thing that he's going to do is pay you what you worth. So, yes, I have no qualms. He'll pay him more than what he's worth.
Okay. All right. I agree with you on that. I think he will. I think, you know, even if he gets Lashley for 2 years, Tony Khan's that big of a mark, it's worth it to him.
Yeah.
It's worth it to him to get Bobby Lashley on his TV program. I almost want to see it because that dude is going to make that whole roster.
And to your point, just this, being real here, regardless of whatever we feel about AEW and their product, he's what they need.
He is.
They don't have a big, beautifully looking, muscular hoss who can work both sides on that at the top of their card. Like they tried it with a lot of people, just ain't working. Warlow's WWE bound in a year when he's free. They got Big Bill sucking under Jericho right now. Brian Cage is 5'4". Like they don't have it. So,
yeah, they don't have a hoss, and they need a hoss, and he would legitimize. And I'm sorry, MJF, Swerve, no offense, ride to Lashley. Put it on him. If they sign him, put that fucking title on him. Don't do what you did with Danielson. Don't do what you did with anybody else. Put the goddamn title on Lashley.
I say that, actually, it looked like the plan is Danielson's going to get the title at All In as like a goodbye.
Yeah.
He's full-time retiring at the end of the year.
Okay.
And as they've already booked, it's Swerve versus Danielson at All In, so.
Oh, there you go.
Well, see, they should have put a belt on him when Punk got hurt the first time, and they needed somebody to fill him.
Yeah, instead of giving Mox like 7 reigns in 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Should have given Mox that vacation he earned.
Right.
Still ain't took it.
No, he still has not. That dude, I think he wants to die in the ring. All right, guys, this has been an awesome show. We had a good time tonight. We broke away from the wrestling a little bit. We talked about some other stuff. I enjoy that kind of stuff once in a while. Had some great wrestling discussion. I want to thank all of you for coming back. I'm going to – Jed, Ray's got a thought real quick. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You mentioned that you say Moxley wants to die in the ring. You know who his hero is, right?
No.
Not Funk. Itachi Onita.
Hmm.
That speaks volumes when you realize that's his hero.
Yikes. All right, well, let's start with our guest host here, Mr. Ray Cash. Sir, been a good time this week. Thank you for your time. I know you've been trying to get away, and we just keep bringing you back.
Hey, man. Well, I love you guys, and I love being on the show.
And we love you. We have good conversation every time you're on here, seriously.
A little different flavor today, but it was cool. It was fun. Just man, you know, I'd be more up for it, but the time is so weird. Like, y'all started recording as I walked in the house.
Oh God, yeah, because you're an hour behind us as it is, and then
But no, you guys put up. I'm not gonna steal my boy Platt's thing and say the Platt signal, but you guys throw the call. If I can, I'm always gonna be willing to hop on.
And you're always welcome. That fourth chair has been yours for a solid 2 years. You know that, brother. Sure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Wait, we got to have it out. There's one part of this discussion that we didn't have. Uh-oh. WWE fumbled Bobby Lashley, yes or no?
It's not that simple as yes.
No, it's actually a new that's another hour discussion, Jason. I don't want to do that.
Literally online, I noticed that we had talked about it on Twitter. Then I said, we'll talk about it more on the show, but.
And we didn't.
In the last 5 years, they have done more lows and more to hurt him than they have done highs and to help him. So I think the word fumbled is a fair assessment, but I would not say it.
That's fair. Then that's just we use the word fumbled differently. Because I would also agree with that assessment, but I wouldn't say they fumbled them. So there you go.
All right. Well, from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, good show tonight, man.
Always a pleasure.
And again, as always, I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I want to thank you guys for sticking with us for another episode, episode 203. That's right, 203 episodes rocking right along here. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here till next week when we're talking all things SummerSlam.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details. How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.